All right, well, praise God. This morning, I've titled my message, Because of the Cross. You know, just hours before his death, Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room. They observed the Passover meal together. But Jesus also there did something very strange, and he washed the feet of the disciples. And you know, if somebody would have just happened to walk in not knowing what was going on and not knowing any of the people in the room, they would have assumed that Jesus was probably the servant of some wealthy person who was just going about his duties. They would have never guessed that he was the Son of God. But what Jesus was doing in that upper room was preparing his disciples for what was about to happen next. And if we read through the book of John, we get a lot of the dialogue that took place, a lot of what Jesus told his disciples in the final hours. And I want to look at a few of those. I won't read through all of it because it's several chapters. But in John 15, 18, Jesus told the disciples something very important. He said, "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first." He was preparing them. Jesus knew what was about to come. They still had no idea. They still did not understand that Jesus in just a few short hours would be arrested. And they didn't realize that shortly after that he would be led up to that lonely hill and he would be nailed to the cross and he would lose his life there. And they thought things were still going well. They were probably kind of, you know, on a high point right about then, not realizing that their world was coming, crashing down. But Jesus was trying to prepare them. But I think those words are true for us again today. We need to remember, if the world hates us for what we stand for, it's okay because they hated Jesus first. And they hate us because of lifting up Jesus. Why is it that around the world there are Christians that have to meet in secrecy? Why are Christians being arrested? Why are they being tortured? Why are they being beaten? Why are they being put to death? Because the world hates Jesus and what he stands for. Everything was about to change for the disciples. John 16, 28, Jesus said, "Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I leave the world and return to the Father." And I don't think the disciples were still getting what it is that Jesus is telling them. Now, I mean, we have the advantage of looking back, but I think we might have been just as confused as they were if we had been sitting there and we didn't know all the events that were about to unfold. But you know, the disciples, they had spent the last several years following Jesus. They had listened for hour upon hour of his teaching. They had witnessed his miracles and all the things that he had done. And then Jesus had even sent them out in his name to go out and perform miracles. They were going and they were doing and they thought, this is it. We see, we understand what it's all about. And in John 16:30, they said something very interesting. They said, "Now we understand that you know everything." That was a true statement. Jesus did know everything. "And there's no need to question you. From this, we believe you came from God." And so, I think they really didn't understand what they were saying, though. I mean, to paraphrase, maybe to reword, kind of where I think they were coming from. They said, "Okay, Jesus, yeah, we got what you're telling us. And we understand this faith thing, and trust us, we're good to go. We've heard the teaching, we've been with you, we've seen the miracles, we've been out ministering, we're good to go. We got it under control." But the problem is, they didn't have it under control. In Mark 10:38, at one point, the disciples came and they made a request of Jesus. And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I'm baptized with?" I don't think, again, they understood those words. Jesus knew what was coming. And they're saying, "Look, we're ready to go wherever you go. We're ready to do whatever you do. We're in 100%. We got this down. We understand. We got the faith. We've got it all pulled together. We are good to go." But they were not prepared to see Jesus hanging on a cross, giving up his life. They just never believed it would lead there. And so what did they do when Jesus was nailed to the cross? They scattered. They all ran away and they hid. I wonder What would you and I do if we would have been one of them? We would have been there. Well, I don't know about you guys. For me, I will tell you, I probably would have done the same thing that they did. I probably would have ran away and hid. Because I would have said, wait a minute, this isn't what I expected. I thought it was going a different direction. I thought something else was about to happen. And I think if we're all honest, I mean, you know, it's the correct answer is, you know, when you get a question in Sunday school, and the question's either God or Jesus is always a safe answer, right? But, you know, the answer always is come back and say, no, I would have been like the disciples. You know, I would have had real faith. But I think the truth is, I think we would have done the same thing. I think we would have scattered. And I think the devil took great joy when he saw the disciples turning around and deserting Jesus at the cross. He looked at it and he said, man, they're going to fold. This is it. I got them beat. I got them whooped. Their faith is collapsing. Their faith isn't strong enough to hold them up. They're going to crash. They're going to burn. They're going down. But the problem was, Satan did not realize that God didn't give up on people so easily. Satan thought they were done for. He thought that their world had been just crumbling around them and that it came crashing down all at once. He thought there was no way they could get up and recover. But God said, I have a different plan. And you know, you may be shaken to your very core. And the devil may come to you at a time when your world seems to be crashing down and crumbling around with you. And the devil, what he's going to do, he's going to come say those same things to you. He's going to come say, you know, you thought you had it figured out. You thought you had faith. You thought that you had a solid rock that you could stand on. But look around. Everything's falling apart. Everything's crashing down. And that solid rock that you thought that you were going to be able to stand on, it's going to come down to. And when it does, you're going down with it. You thought you had it figured out. You testified about your faith. But now, when it comes down to it, you got nothing. Well, I'll tell you, Satan's going to do that. He's going to do that. He's going to try to convince you that you've got nothing to stand on. But when that happens, what do? We can turn to Satan and say, nope, I'm not going down. Not giving in. I'm not quitting. I'm not calling it quits. I'm standing firm. And as long as there is one rock beneath my feet, and that rock is Jesus Christ, I'm going nowhere. When Jesus died on the cross, I don't think it looked like a victory to anybody. I don't think any of the observers there, I don't think anybody witnessing the event at the time, I don't think anybody saw any possible way it could be called a victory. How can you call that a victory? Somebody who is innocent being nailed to a cross and being put to death doesn't look like a victory to me. But yet it was the greatest victory of all time. Because when Jesus was nailed to that cross, he got the victory over sin for all eternity. No matter what happens, because of the cross, you can stand on the firm promise that you have been declared righteous by God. Amen? And that word, we talked about that on Wednesday night. We've been talking about some of these church words that we use. And that word, to be declared righteous, I would say it's to be pardoned. Amen? So God doesn't say you never did the things that you did. He just said, I'm not holding it against you. No punishment attached. No guilt. You're free to go. You're good. No matter what happens. You know, 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. We have the opportunity for all of our sins to be given. Why? Because of the cross. We can stand firm. Why? Because of the cross. And all we need to do is stand on these words that as long as we're faithful to go to God and confess our sins and say, God, I realize I'm wrong. He's faithful to forgive us. Not once, not twice, not seven times, not even 70 times seven. But on and on and on. Because you've been justified. You've been redeemed. You've been declared righteous. And all condemnation has been removed by the blood of Jesus. Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. No condemnation. I don't care what the devil comes to say. His words don't matter. Amen. Devil can come and say you're guilty. He can come and say, you know, you got nothing to stand on. The devil can come and say it's all coming down. But there is no condemnation from our Lord and Savior. Amen. There is no condemnation from the one and only one who will judge you for your sins. Amen. Satan may come and say that you're guilty, but it doesn't matter because he's not the judge. The one who is the judge says no condemnation. In the past, your sins separated you from God, but now God has provided a way for you to be reconciled back to him. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed us his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. We used to be sinners. We used to be in a place where our sin separated us from God and there was nothing that we could do. And yet when there was absolutely nothing that we could do, when it did not matter, there was no way, and the only hope was for God to step in, that's when God stepped in. And he sent Christ Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Now, I remember back years ago when I was a kid growing up in church. And I know some of you say, yeah, that was a real long time ago. But I remember this really well. On a Sunday morning, there was a couple, and they were in their late 80s, and they came to church, and they listened to the words of the pastor that morning, and they gave their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. And I remember as a young kid, one is I thought these people were ancient, amen? I mean, they were really old. You know, the older I get, the younger they are. But I know it made such an impression on me to see somebody at that age give their lives over to Christ. And in fact, the following Sunday, they got baptized. And I remember this man talking. After he got saved, after he got baptized, he spoke about how much he regretted that he had only come to know Christ so late in life. And he regretted all the opportunities he had missed out up to that point. You know, we all live with regrets of the past. I bet everybody here has a list. And you say, I got a list of things I wish I'd never done. I got a list of things that I wish I had have done. I've got a list of things that if I had the opportunity, I would do it different. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a chance to go back and do things differently every now and then? You know, I'm really bad at golf. I kind of gave it up eventually. But I'm one of these people, I can go up and I can hit a tee shot and it'll go a good 20 yards off into the weeds. And you know what I always appreciate is when I'm playing golf that I'm playing with people who aren't real serious about the game. And I take that 20-yard tee shot into the weeds and they go, you know, it's okay. Just do it over. Amen? Do it over. And then I might hit one 40 or 50 yards. But unfortunately in life, there are no do-overs. Amen? It's do it once and move on. But you know, the Bible says we're running a race. And I know, again, not a lot about races because I've never run too many races in my life. But one of the things I know about a race is it does not matter how you start. First guy out off the starting line isn't declared the winner of the race. Amen? Who's declared the winner? The person who ends the race. Amen? Doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you end. So, we may look back on our lives, we may have some regrets, we may say, I wish I would have done some things wrong, we may say, you know, I wish I would have started stronger. But there's nothing we can do about that. But what do? Now we run the race, because we can still win that race. It matters how we finish. Doesn't matter what has happened in the past. Because not only did God nail our past sins to the cross, but he nailed our past regrets. We don't have to carry around those regrets. You know, Satan, again, he comes, he discourages you by saying, look at all the things you could have done differently, and look at all the things you messed up. But we can say, Satan, it doesn't matter, because God took that, and he nailed it to the cross. And I may not have started strong, but I'm going to finish strong. You can hold firm to the cross, and you can declare victory from all of your past. You have the victory in Jesus. And because of that, the past has no hold over you. You know, the death of Christ on the cross is not just about going to heaven someday in the sweet by and by. You know, sometimes I think we get to that point. We think about, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross and he forgave my sins. And that means when I stand before the judgment throne of God that I get to, you know, I get to have my sins forgiven and I get to go into heaven. And that's all very true. Amen? But it's about so much more than that. It's also about the knowledge that as we live this life that we have right now, this here and now, this present day, it's about the knowledge that our sins and our past have been forgiven so we can alter the course of our future. We don't have to be bound by what has happened in the past. God set us free of that. Okay, we messed up in the past. We made wrong decisions. We made mistakes. We did things that we didn't want to do, that we didn't do things that we wanted to do. We messed it all up, and God says that's all right because fresh start. Let's move on from here and now. Quit letting the devil hold you back because of the past. And I know some of us too, we deal with hurts from the past. And I'll tell you, if you've been in church very long, I promise you, you got some hurts from inside the church. Amen? Because sometimes the devil gets inside the church. And sometimes we carry around some wounds from the past. But I want to tell you, God took those and he nailed them to the cross. You can be set free of whatever it is that Satan comes and uses to try to discourage you from running the race that you might finish strong. You know, Jesus could have quit at any time. He did it freely. You know, when he was arrested, he could have stopped it right then. When they started whipping him and beating him, he could have easily stopped it. When they forced him to go up to the top of that hill, he could have stopped it. Before they drove that first spike through his hand, he could have called a legion of angels down. Amen? But he never did. Instead, he gave up his life free. In fact, he never even had to go out to the garden. Amen? He could have left the upper room and he could have said, hey guys, it's been a good time. Enjoy the meal. I'm turning in for the night. He could have left town. Avoided the whole controversy of being arrested. Tried. But he didn't. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He was trying to explain to the disciples what was going to happen. And then he was ready to go and do it. Why? Because of the love that God has for us. And Jesus never said, this is too much for me. Amen? I don't know, you ever thought or spoken those words, been going through something, you thought, this is just too much. This is too much. But I want to tell you, it is not too much. Why? Because we stand on that firm foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we think it's too much, it just means everything has crashed around beside us. Everything has fallen apart. Everything has gone down except that rock that we stand on. And our rock is Christ Jesus. You know, right now, we may even have somebody listening. Maybe somebody here this morning. Maybe somebody listening to the podcast recording. And they're thinking, how can God know what I'm going through? I'm going through something difficult right now. I'm going through a hard time. How can God know the hurt? How can he know the pain? How can he understand what I'm going through? John 15:13. Jesus said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Who are his friends? We're his friends. Amen? He called us friends. And he expects us to do the same for each other. You know, there's nothing that Jesus doesn't understand. There's nothing that he did not suffer. He paid that price. He showed his love. And because of that, he said in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. You know, this is what church is really about right here. I mean, we can talk about all the things that church is about. And, you know, it's about coming and having breakfast on Sunday morning. It's about Sunday school. And it's about singing songs. It's about having classes for the kids. And, you know, it's about coming forward for prayer. Or listening to the message, but those Those are all important things, amen? But we need to realize right here, John 13:35, this is what church is really about. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Our love for each other, amen? That same love that Jesus showed when he gave up his life. He said, there's no greater love than giving up your life for your friends. And he's saying, that's the model. That's the example I'm setting, you know, sitting in front of you. This is what I want you to rise to. You know, we can go to church. We can learn about God's love. We can teach about God's love. We can sing about God's love. We can go out and stand on the corner and hold up a sign and yell at people driving down the road about God's love. But what we need to do is we just really need to start loving each other, even when there's a cost. Because I will tell you, sometimes when you are going to show your love for somebody else, there's going to be a cost. It's going to cost you something. Nothing comes for free. And in fact, sometimes it's even going to be a sacrifice. Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for us. What are we willing to sacrifice for each other? You know, when one of us is going through a difficult time, we should be willing to share that with the others. Amen? We share our burdens. But when somebody comes and shares their burdens, you're not just there as a, you know, a post to listen. Amen? It should prompt us to say, now, how do we respond in love? Because of the cross, we should live our lives differently. Because of the cross, not only do we stand on a firm foundation, but we become a source of inspiration for those around us. Amen? When somebody else is going through those tough times, we can reach out a hand and help them stand firm. Even if it means a sacrifice on our part. But I said earlier, how can God know what I'm going through? How can God know? You know, sometimes we may think that. How does God know? Well, I promise you that God knows because of the cross. He knows what it means to be deserted by his friends. He knows what it means for the world to turn on him. He knows what it means to be beaten. He knows what it means to be condemned when he's done nothing wrong. He knows what it means to take on the sins and the sickness of the world. And he knows what it means to sacrifice to show his love for others. Jesus understands your pain. He understands your weakness. He understands your weariness. He understands your sickness. He understands your sorrows. And he understands your regrets, because he has been through it all. Because of the cross, he knows and he can relate. But because of the cross, you can stand firm, and it doesn't matter what the situation is around you. You know, it's one thing to think that we have this faith thing figured out. And I think sometimes, you know, we start patting ourselves on the back. And we think, I'm doing pretty good. I got this all figured out. And then what happens? Our faith gets put to the test. And maybe we didn't have it quite as figured out as we thought. What do? Well, we simply step back and we look for that strength in Jesus Christ. Amen? You cannot do it on your own. You need a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is our faith in Christ. You need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit living in you, empowering you, directing you, guiding you. And only then can you stand up to the devil and say, devil, I'm not folding today. In fact, I'm not folding any day. I'm staying right where I am. And I'm standing firm. And I'm going to cross that finish line. And I'm going to finish the race strong. Because we can. This morning as we close, I want to pray. Maybe some here this morning, maybe somebody is struggling with something. Might be doubt, might be fears, might be uncertainty, might be regrets. Might just feel worn out and weary from everything in life and say, it's just hard to make it through another day. I don't know where you are, but if you'll take a minute, let's bow our heads as we pray this morning.